When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show.
The best soccer show in the whole world.
The best soccer show boys have convened on a Wednesday. I can't believe we got together on a Wednesday. When does this ever happen?
Game days, usually.
Oh, that's right. When the national team is playing on a Wednesday. I can't remember last time that happened. We're here on a Wednesday because the U.S. men's national team roster for October has dropped. It dropped straight on top of us, Jared, like a pile of bricks.
Like a piano in a cartoon.
And now we're like our cartoon character. We're dusting off our shoulders and it's going all poofy like with the clouds of dust and we're trying to figure this out. Are you ready to go through this? Do you want to do it old school style or do you want to go
old school style?
Well, I name every player and you stop me if you have something that you need to say.
Yeah, we can do old school style. I mean, what's the alternative? Saying, oh, what are your surprises first or something
Yeah,
like that?
I think one way to look at this, and I kind of want to set us up to be a little bit positive before we get into stuff that bugs us or stuff that might be negative.
So let's go by position. Let's go like by goalkeeper.
Let's
then
do it by group.
And forwards.
Okay, we're going to do it by group. All right, let's get into this. The goalkeepers, Los Porteros, Jared, Sean Johnson, NYCFC, Zach Steffen, Manchester City, Matt Turner, New England Revolution. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? For me, I honestly, when I read this, I didn't even notice that Ethan Horvath wasn't in it because that's how quickly I glossed over the keepers.
Yeah.
All I did was say, is Matt Turner there? Okay, move on. That's really all that matters to me at this point. I think the Ethan Horvath thing, A, he's not starting with Nottingham Forest consistently.
No.
And it reduces your potential English, what are we calling that rule they have right now?
Yeah, the travel quarantine requirements, which is the same thing that was in place last time, but of course they didn't travel to a red list country. This time Panama is on the red list, which means that England-based players cannot go to Panama unless they quarantine for 10 days in a hotel when they get back to England, and no English club is going to want them to do that. So basically the national teams aren't going to make them do, or at least in the U.S. case, Berhalter's not going to make them go if they're going to have to quarantine when they get back to England. Now,
for a number one position, Matt Turner, it doesn't matter. So
no.
this position on the field doesn't hurt too bad.
Okay, here's a couple things. Zach Steffen cannot go to Panama, so that's interesting. So you are picking one England-based player and not the other, sort of recognizing that you can't have two that don't travel because then you don't have a backup when you go to Panama, hence Sean Johnson. Now, it's possible that the rule gets relaxed, in which case I don't know if anything changes, probably not for this group. But I think here's the real question, not necessarily with Ethan Horvath and his absence, Jared, but is it possible that because he did not start, we think, in part because of the back spasms and the COVID-19 positive, does Zach Steffen start one or more of these three games?
I don't think so. I think it's Matt Turner's job. It's not like other positions where there's wear and tear and you have to worry about spelling him. I think what this really came down to is if you brought Ethan Horvath, you're traveling to Panama with one keeper, potentially one keeper if you don't want to play the quarantine game. So
right.
I think this is Greg Berhalter playing it safe, making sure that no matter what, he has two keepers all the way through this entire run. And not asking any guy to sacrifice something at the club level when they go back. So my guess is that maybe Zach Steffen doesn't travel to Panama and you just take Sean Johnson and Matt Turner to that game.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I just wonder if Matt Turner really is established as the number one or if we're just all presuming that because he was the only in-form keeper who could have played in the last round of matches, and he did a good job. I don't know that I believe that for Greg Berhalter, he's just won the number one job outright.
I do. I think so. I think Zach Steffen's done nothing to threaten Matt Turner.
Okay, and he's not playing
regularly.
You're right,
it's circumstantial that Matt Turner got all the starts last time, potentially, but by Zach Steffen not being available, he opened the door for Matt Turner to take the job.
Yeah,
I think that's what's happened at this point.
He got Wally Pipped, even though he really wasn't that strong.
What's Wally Pipped?
All right, it's a baseball thing. So back during when the Yankees' heyday of the 20s and the 30s, Lou Gehrig, who famously became the record holder for most consecutive games played by a baseball player before Cal Ripken
beat it, right?
Until Cal Ripken beat it.
I know things.
The man that Lou Gehrig replaced was this guy named Wally Pipp, who was a pretty good ball player. There was no reason for Wally Pipp to be taken out of the lineup except he got injured.
You could say he got Tom Brady'd as well then. Because Tom Brady kind of did the same thing with the Drew Bledsoe?
Well, then you would say he got Drew Bledsoe, not Tom Brady.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Because Matt Turner would be the Tom Brady, but I don't like Tom Brady, so why are we talking about Tom Brady? Let's not.
I'm just using the limited other sports knowledge that I have to kind of bond with you over something.
Okay, who else played on the Yankees team that was called Murderer's Row and had Lou Gehrig on it? Any guesses? Give me one guess.
Wait.
Babe Ruth was on that team.
I was trying to think what years are they? Is that the 20s and 30s?
Yes,
then?
The 20s and the early 30s. Yeah, that would
be
right.
I don't think I can go past that.
No, most people can't. Defenders, you ready for the defenders?
Yeah, let's shoot them out.
George Bello, Atlanta United. John Brooks, Wolfsburg. Serginho Dest, Barcelona. Mark McKenzie of Genk. Shaq Moore of Tenerife. Tim Ream of Fulham. Chris Richards of Hoffenheim. Anthony Robinson of Fulham. Miles Robinson, Atlanta United. DeAndre Yedlin, Galatasaray.
So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't think you and I in our mock, either of us took 10 defenders. I think I took 8 and you took 9.
I took 9, you took 8. I think what the significant differences are here that I didn't necessarily think we were going to get McKenzie and Richards, both of them. I did not have Shaq Moore. I don't think you had Shaq Moore, right?
I did not. No, I took Julian Araujo because I thought this might be his chance if he chose the U.S.
By the way, there was a comment by Berhalter about Julian Araujo during the press conference today. Apparently what he said was, if there's something to be said by Julian, then it's up to him, not for me to say. So I don't know what that means, if Julian's made his decision or whatever.
What's interesting is that we don't know if Berhalter invited or not.
Right. And look, I don't want to. I know you love the kid. I know he has a bright future. It's possible it's with L3 and not with the United States. I don't want to spend a lot of time on a guy who's not in the team, because what I want is for this group to go get points.
To talk about it, to me, is Shaq Moore's not even starting with playing minutes with Tenerife.
This is a good point. Yes.
So that's the only reason I think that there's a conversation between those two
players.
Well,
I don't think it's Julian Araujo that most people are focused on as why isn't he there? Why is he not there instead of Shaq Moore? The name everybody's focused on is Joseph Scally, Mr. Dubois.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think in this case, you're seeing... I don't think that Berhalter necessarily rates Shaq Moore higher than Joe Scally at this point. I think it's more about Shaq Moore has been in this team. He knows he can drop him in and he's familiar with the systems. I just think that he wants to probably see more of Joe Scally and maybe bring him into an environment that isn't right into a World Cup qualifier. But that's pretty much all that's going to be in front of us for the next few months. So at some point, you're going to have to take the flyer on a guy like Joe Scally if a guy like Shaq Moore isn't playing with this team. So I would have thought this was the window to do that. You and I think both put Joe Scally. I know I put him on my team. Did you have him on yours?
I did, yes.
So I think Shaq Moore, this is maybe his last chance to show something, unless he gets minutes.
Well, so here's an interesting point about this, too, is that Shaq Moore is just a right back. I don't mean that in like, oh, he's just a right back. But he's just a right back. Joe Scally has played on both sides for Gladbach and done a good job on both sides for Gladbach. Looking for a reason to sort of understand what Berhalter is doing here, I threw out there, well, he's got less than 1,000 minutes as a professional, Joe Scally. Why push a guy who's that young? Why not let him stay at Gladbach and continue to get settled in and continue the good run? And I think there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, it's not like you're so rich with options if you're going to Shaq Moore that you can't justify bringing up a kid like Joe Scally who's been playing that well.
I'll say this why Shaq Moore – okay, I'm not going to say this why Shaq Moore over Joe Scally. But I will say this why Shaq Moore is in this team in general is because literally that's the best right-sided defender that Berhalter has brought. You have to have someone like a Shaq Moore because as you saw in the last window – Serginho Dest and Jondre Yedlin, they're not in there for defense. Maybe Yedlin's a better defender probably than Dest, but Shaq Moore's a better defender than either one of them. Right. And he's quickly taking the position that Reggie Cannon was holding in this team.
And you mentioned the name that I was going to bring up, because if Reggie wasn't in just purgatory with Boa Vista, maybe he's in this team and it's not Shaq Moore. And you could, I'm sure people would still say, why Reggie Cannon instead of Joe Scally, but at least Reggie Cannon has been an established player in this group. You know what kind of defender he is, but he has gotten zero playing time, and Boa Vista is just an absolute garbage fire right now. So, you know, it's unfortunate for Reggie, but I guess it benefits Shaq Moore, who, like you said, hasn't played. I think he's played 60 minutes since the Gold Cup in his club team at this point.
I mean, other than Shaq Moore, the rest of this fills out pretty much as you and I expected.
Well, Bello, you're gonna think that.
Sorry, I did not take Bello. I don't think either of us took Bello.
No, I think I had Des can play left side, and Anthony Robinson's an out and out left back. That's your two left backs.
And I think this is why you're seeing 10 players. I think there's a reason why I took 8, you took 9, because Joe Scally fit left and right sides. You didn't have to take George Bello or Shaq Moore if you take Joe Scally. So I think this is one thing that maybe it's a fallacy and you and I are not rating him too high, but to me, taking Joe Scally lets you take another forward because you don't have to bring both Shaq Moore and George Bello.
Yeah, sure.
By bringing Joe Scally in, you have a guy that can go both ways on that. And now we're talking about later when we get to the forwards, there's a name that I'm sure you and I both are surprised isn't on this list. And that might be how you get that name in, is if you bring Joe Scally and don't bring both of those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, you're bargaining here. You're taking from one group, you're giving to another group. Berhalter, but fullback was an issue in the last round of games, and I think Berhalter has decided he wants extra cover there. And
you know what else was an issue last time was wingers.
It's true, and we'll get to it. Let's go to the midfielders, and remember in this. The way that these are listed now, because it's nominally always a 4-3-3 or a three-man front line, those wide forwards are listed with the forwards. Midfielders, Kellen Acosta, Colorado Rapids, Tyler Adams, Erbe, Leipzig, Gianluca Buzio of Venezia, Luca Della Torre of Heracles, Sebastian Leggett of York, LA Galaxy, Weston McKennie, Juventus, Yunus Musah of Valencia, Christian Roldan, Seattle Sounders, Mr. Dubois.
So I think one of the reasons you don't think Jimmy Sands into this one as that kind of two-way player that Berhalter could cheat either at defense or midfielder. There's no true player like that in this one.
There's no player that can play in the back line, or at least you think he can, and also play in midfield, although Jimmy Sands was lost in midfield in the last window.
So that's where you're getting like the Gianluca Busio kind of spot is not taking Jimmy Sands. I think in this case, we're taking more midfielders because last time it was apparent that there was a linking problem. There was a linking problem, and Yunus Musah is going to be a big part of that linking play. And I think that's why you see Luca Della Torre, a player that, you know, I've been wanting to see back with the national team for a while. I've been talking about because that linking player is just missing. And you're hoping that one of those two players right there can help with that. Because you're not going to have, and not to tip the hat too, Luke, if you don't know the roster, there is no Christian Pulisic. You know, there is no Gio Reyna.
Right.
So you're going to really need more creativity from the midfield, and I think that's why you're seeing less forwards on this roster and more midfielders than we saw in the September run.
Yeah, I don't know that the word creativity is what comes to mind, because I don't
How about verticality?
That's what Berhalter has used. That's the word he has said in this group, talking about this group, because what you get from a Della Torre, what you get from a Yunus Musah is a player who can receive the ball from Adams or from a back line and then push the ball forward on the dribble. You know, if he doesn't eliminate defenders, at least he brings defenders to him with that push, and then that opens up space. And that is something you can talk about when we get to the forward line, those players who will benefit, especially as they drift inside, as most of them are going to want to do. I think it's pretty clear here that Tyler Adams is the number one at the number six position, and Kellen Acosta is the number two there. What I hope, because of Della Torre, because of Musah, because Roldan is here off the bench, because Leggett is here, Weston McKennie obviously we'll get to in a second, you don't have a reason to play Kellen Acosta higher than the number six position in the formation. Please do not do that.
And I think the Tyler Adams muscle strain that made him a substitute on the weekend, or it was a weekend or during the week? I'm forgetting now. But the last game.
He came back into the team with the Champions League game on Tuesday.
Yeah. So I think that's why you have to find a way to shoehorn Gianluca Busio into this as well. Because if Adams can't go, and he has a history of not being able to go with muscle issues, back issues, you want that one extra layer past Kellen Acosta.
Right.
Where last window, Tyler Adams is fully healthy. Even in a three-game window, Adams plays every minute. And I don't think that Berhalter has the same confidence that he can lean on him the same way in this window. So that's why you got to make sure you have someone like a Busio in there. And then, like I said, I think Weston McKennie, I don't think it's going to be a bucket or double pivot or anything like that. But I think you're looking at someone that's going to try to help on the defensive end and help get the ball to the feet of what's likely Yunus Musa.
Yeah, I think without, say, a Gio Reyna in this team, there's really, or a Christian Pulisic who can play centrally if he has to, there's really no reason to imagine Berhalter's going to go to a double pivot. That's why you would do that, because you have a player who can sit in front of those midfielders, receive the ball, turn, look up, find players, dribble into the box, drive the box, make runs. That's what Gio Reyna is going to do. That's what Christian Pulisic would do from that position. Now, they could also play that position with a single holding midfielder behind them. But in this group, you can play Weston McKennie in that normal spot ahead of an Adams. And then you pair him with, I think we're all hoping it's Yunus Musa. At least we want to get a glimpse of that, right? That's what we're hoping to see.
Yeah, I think so. I think Yunus Musa is the player everyone wants to see. But let's be honest, he's not playing significant minutes for Valencia. Just coming back from injury.
But he's looked good when he has played so far back from injury. I think he's looked pretty good.
I think we're thinking a lot if we think he's going to start three games.
No, that's games. But that's not going to happen for very many of these guys. In fact, I don't know that there's anybody I think is going to start all three games necessarily. You're going to have to rotate again, which is why, while I think of John Brooks as a first choice player, there's a very good chance that Chris Richards and Miles Robinson play together in this team at some point. And I'd be okay with that. Like, that's something I would like to see. With the first game of the last window,
John Brooks sat.
He did not play in that game. We'll talk about the sequence of games here in a second. And obviously, when we get to Sunday night and we have our live show, we'll have plenty of reason to talk about the sequence of games, because it'll be just in a couple of days from then. Let me pause before we move on to the forwards and talk about Weston McKennie, because, Jared, we went over this. Everybody's talking about it. It was the big story in the September window that he violated team policy twice. He got his ass sent home back to Italy. I don't know how to say get your ass home in Italian. I'd love to learn how to say that. He is back in this team. And Berhalter, and I said this on my radio show, which I think you're aware of. Are you aware of the radio show that I have?
Nice, with call-ins and stuff?
Yeah, I have callers. I do have callers.
You got Nick?
I don't have Nick. It's somebody else, unfortunately. But what I was going to say is, I mentioned this on my show, I think it's been pretty clear, Berhalter has been not necessarily laying down hints, because he's just talking and giving his thoughts, but he's always been more of the arms wide open kind of coach. I'm going to welcome you back.
With arms wide open.
I believe, don't, no, see, we don't, that's not what I was intending to happen there. I think it's always been more of, you know, not permissive. He doesn't want to make it seem like he's letting Weston McKennie get away with something, but definitely like, well, I'm not going to punish you forever. Like, once you do the punishment, like with your kids, right? They're not grounded forever. They're grounded for a little while, and then they get to go back out and play at some point.
So what I'm interested to see is, so far, Weston McKennie has been able to escape comment on anything. He's not going to be able to escape that during this window. You got to think that that's going to be, he's going to have to make some kind of media.
So I guess that's a good question. Do you think U.S. Soccer makes him available and he has to say something, or do they try to hide him away?
I think it looks like they're cowards if they don't. You know, like, honestly, is there another person that the media would rather talk to?
Do you think he has to? Like, do you think it's just a necessity that he has to do
if,
that?
If they truly want to put to bed and have the rest, the whole soccer community can't move on until there's answers. And there's no real answers yet.
I think we've moved on, though. Like, I think I've moved on.
Really?
Yeah.
You've seen Twitter lately? Do you think U.S. Soccer Twitter's moved on?
I mean, U.S. Soccer Twitter is an interesting place. I'm going to say that I don't know.
Look at our chat on Sunday night. People are like, they don't ever want him back. There's people saying that.
I know. And Berhalter did address that in his comments today. He sort of said, what bothered me was how quick everybody was, or so many people were, to sort of, you know, just give up on him and that they were extremely harsh, which, again, I think is messaging. I think that's Berhalter saying to Weston McKennie, hey, I got you. I know you screwed up, but I'm here for you. Like, I believe in you. Like, I'm the cool dad, not the crappy dad who sends you to the basement for 3 weeks. Did that ever happen to you or just...
3 weeks?
Okay, sorry. We'll continue. Let's move past that. I don't want to spend any time on...
Like food and water, maybe? Or...
Food? What? What do you think this was? The Ritz?
Whatever rats you can catch in the basement?
I think it's okay that he's back. I think if he's going to be
okay.
a leader...
Let's be honest. The U.S. team needs him right now.
Yes.
There's no Pulisic. There's no Reyna. Like... Of the four horsemen that you need that have been touted as the guys that this team is going to be built around, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Gio Reyna, Christian Pulisic, two of them aren't here.
Yeah.
And so you know who needs this? Tyler Adams needs Weston McKennie.
Well,
Tyler Adams needs Weston McKennie.
Yes, to carry some of the burden, yeah. But also, I think about what happens if, and again, I don't want to go negative here, but what happens if McKennie doesn't play well? What happens if he has a bad day? And I mean, if they win, maybe you gloss over it. And certainly if they lose, then everybody's going to get it. It doesn't matter who you are.
I think it depends what a bad day is. If it's a bad day and he worked his ass off and you can see he's working hard, then that's fine. You know, if it's a bad day and it looks like he's not interested,
yeah,
then that's just further. It's going to further fill the holes in U.S. soccer fandom's head about what the problem was last window. Why is this not matter enough to him? That's what people are going to say.
His effort's got to be on 110. Like, there's no question.
It's got to be more than what you're seeing at Juventus right now. I'll tell you that.
Okay. I don't want to get into that. I mean, I think Juventus is just a mess of a team at the moment.
Here's the problem. He has a cultural problem he has to fix with his team, and he has a PR problem he has to fix with the fans. There's no other way around it. Berhalter can say everything he wants to say. He could tell people they're wrong for thinking this way. Human nature is going to dictate those two things have to be addressed in this window.
Yeah.
U.S. soccer has to help him address the PR part, and he has to address the part culturally with his team.
Okay, let's move on to the forward group. Again, no Christian Pulisic, no Giovanni Reyna, Brendan Aaronson, Red Bull Salzburg, Paul Areola, DC United, Matthew Hoppe, Mallorca, Ricardo Pepi, FC Dallas, Tim Weah of Lille, and Jossie Zardes, York. Columbus Crew.
So for me, obviously, the surprise here is there's a surprise addition, a surprise omission.
Yeah. The word's omission, yeah.
The surprise addition, I think, for a lot of people is Paul Areola. Now, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, but because if there's anything we saw last window is that veteran leadership, MLS veterans have a role to play in this team. We saw that as this down the stretch.
Every team needs glue guys, and Paul Areola is a glue guy.
But here's the thing, though. Don't you feel that this is a starter to Greg Berhalter in this window?
At some point, yes, probably Paul Areola will start again.
That makes me nervous because the omission here is Conrad De La Fuente,
right,
that I think did nothing wrong to hurt his stock last
week.
Did
he not? Did he play well? I don't think
he played well enough to be brought back in.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Did he play any worse than Christian Pulisic?
You're grading on a scale.
All the wingers were below par. All the wingers were below par last window. At least he had ideas of trying to take guys on one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at these forwards, which one of these guys is going to take a guy on one-on-one? Tim Weah? That's probably the only one?
He could do it. Yeah, sure.
Maybe
you're right.
Brendan Aaronson.
Matthew Hoppe. Matthew Hoppe.
Okay, but Hoppe's not a winger.
He will be in this setup. He will be.
Okay,
that's where he's played for the national team.
Brendan Aaronson and Tim Weah need to be, in a perfect world, those are your two starters in this roster, right?
Right. Yes.
They can't play three games, though. Brendan Aaronson might.
No.
Brendan Aaronson might.
He's
got the engine.
He might. Yeah. Look, again, all of these guys are going to play significant minutes. All of them are going to play significant minutes because there just aren't enough. Six forwards for three games, and you need two wingers every single time you line your team up.
And
so,
here's what this team lacks that the other one had
again,
a
not,
little bit
not
of.
Not wingers, wide forwards, because there
not
is a
ever,
difference.
Dude. Who cares?
When people think wingers, they think guys are going to sit on the sideline, boots on the chalk, whipping in crosses. That's not what any of these guys do.
What's the name of this position then?
It's a wide forward. It's a wide forward.
Winger, two syllables. Wide forward, two words, three syllables.
This is an efficiency issue now for you?
Yes. Who talks like that?
It's a dub F. It's a dub F, Jared. That's what we're calling it now.
I'm going to say winger and people can be okay with it. here's the issue that this one thing I'll say that the other roster had a little bit more of that this one doesn't is malleability. Who's the midfielder that you see that could go up front and play a winger if you had to? Maybe Yunus Musah?
Yeah, Yunus Musah, maybe.
Christian Roldan?
I mean, yes.
It's not necessarily their best positions, though.
No.
Whereas last time we knew that, oh, Aronson can go back, Reyna can go back. We had Sands who could go into two positions. There's not a lot of two line players in this roster, mm-hmm. which makes me a little bit nervous when we get to the forward core, because I don't think there's enough depth at the wide forward.
Sure.
Position?
Okay, whatever. You want to lodge a complaint with management, you're perfectly welcome to do so. But beyond the winger situation, how many true center forwards are... Okay, let me rephrase this. How many true center forwards in Greg Berhalter's mind are on this roster?
Three.
No, there are two. You can't tell me that there are three. He doesn't think of Matthew Hoppe as a center forward. He does not.
I think he feels he can play both.
Okay, but has he used Matthew Hoppe as a center forward at any point so far? Do we have any evidence to say that he thinks Matthew Hoppe should be a center forward?
No, but here's the thing. The only evidence we have to pull from is a Gold Cup where Daryl DK had questions that had to be answered. That was the priority, that Gold Cup. Decide if Daryl DK was ready to produce. So Matthew Hoppe was in the back seat in line behind him in that. And then after that, Giassi Zardes, Berhalter needed results. And Giassi Zardes, who he trusted to get a result. Matthew Hoppe still has a chance to win a forward role.
Okay. I
agree with you. If we see him, it's probably going to be wide. But I'll tell you right now, that's not how Matthew Hoppe sees himself.
No, probably not. Probably not. And it's been pointed out to me that Tim Weah, while in our minds more of a wide player, does sort of line up as a more central forward as part of a pairing.
Great. Another one less
Lille.
Winger.
Well, yeah, but that means he's versatile. You just talked about versatility. You called it malleability, which is like a metal thing. Like you take metal and
the ability to mold it and fold it. Like, yeah. What's wrong with malleability?
Versatility, malleability,
unnecessarily evil.
Not being evil. How is this evil?
There's no reason to pick this fight with me.
I'm not picking
a
fight.
There's nothing wrong with my word choice.
I'm nervous, man. Look, I'm nervous. What's the number? What's the point total that gets you thinking, okay, I'm good here?
Seven.
It has to be seven, right?
It has to be seven. And I don't know that this is a 7-point. I don't know first of all, could Berhalter done much better with this roster?
Considering injuries and absences and form and club situations, probably not. Again, the names that people, I just to put them down on paper in our heads, whatever, right here, so that people realize we already mentioned Joe Scally. Okay, we talked about him. Julian Green is the other one. Do you see a place for Julian Green in this team?
If you drop De La Torre.
Okay, well, you could drop Christian Roldan. People would be happy for Christian Roldan not to be in this team.
I'd rather have Roldan at this point.
Okay.
Because once again, we're going back to, we can barely understand what Berhalter's game plan is. Imagine someone coming off the street, okay?
Okay.
No minutes in this camp. And that's one of the reasons why you don't see Joe Scally. This shit is confusing.
I do think you are careful with introducing new players. I do think that that's a fair thing to talk about. Luca De La Torre is relatively new. I mean, he's been in the mix, but it's been so long. You can't really count that. Yunus Musah is basically starting over again, right? He's basically a new player. I think you have... I talked about continuity a lot from the September to October, and we're not getting a ton because of the injuries, because of the absences, because of whatever. So yeah, maybe this is the best he could do with the roster, but I don't care. Like I do care. And if this was a significantly weakened team relative to September or any other team the U.S. could call up, I might give him some pass. But I'm telling you right now, it is seven or bust, and if it should be nine, there's really no excuse for it not being nine, Jared. You're at home against Jamaica. You're away to Panama. Tell me Panama scares you. Does Panama scare you? They shouldn't scare you.
Always. I think Panama in the past has been a decent team.
Okay, but I don't think right now this is a Panama team that should scare you. You should be able
to
go get 3 points.
Any away team in CONCACAF makes me nervous.
Okay, fine. But what, a draw, a win, whatever. They should be good enough to beat Panama, and you absolutely should be beating Costa Rica at home. Didn't last time and missed the World Cup. Make up for it in Columbus and do the deed and beat
the
Ticos.
That's the last game, right?
That's the last game of the three, yes.
So one thing we didn't talk about when we were talking about the forward core, the other big omission for some people, Josh Sargent. Josh Sargent has finally done something not to get himself on a roster.
He's not a big omission. He is a player that has been there before that people are mildly surprised isn't there now.
He's not a big. How do you say he's not a big omission? He's been on every camp he could potentially be in.
Well, but that you look at the names that are on this team, and it's not like you're like, oh, well, that guy shouldn't be there, but Josh Sargent should. So that to me,
you're not having to convince me. I know you're not having to convince me.
That's why he's not a big omission is because there's nobody here that you could argue is worse than Josh Sargent.
Do you think the English rule, the red zone rule,
I think it was
anything,
a factor.
Anything to this?
I think it was a factor. I don't know if it was the factor, but it could be a combination of well, he hasn't scored, he hasn't looked that great. Not really doing it with with Norwich, and also he can't go to Panama. So why bring him?
So real quick, let's recap. The only players that could be potentially impacted by the English travel rules: Zach Steffen, Anthony Robinson,
Tim Ream, who we spent no time on, by the way. We just kind of coasted by Tim Ream.
trust me, I'm just trying to forget. And in the midfield, there's no one. Will be impacted. And the forward line, there's no one to be impacted. So not to say that there were a lot of other guys. In midfield, there really wasn't a choice to take out of England. But in the forward side, you could definitely say that Josh Sargent could have been impacted by this.
There is at least some thought, and Berhalter addressed it in the press conference, the Zoom call. He said it was unlikely that Pulisic and Reyna could be added, but he didn't want to shut the door completely. It's possible that I think of the two, Pulisic is way more likely. He could like ride in for the Costa Rica game in Columbus. That is at least a possibility.
Yeah, because the Panama one, like we're saying, for an English player, he's not taking him to the Panama game.
No, that's the thing. He can't go to Panama anyway, and he's not ready to play against Jamaica.
And do you fly in a player for one game?
If he's Christian Pulisic, you might do it. It depends. Well, if it's Christian Pulisic and you can bring as many guys as you want into the camp. Now, that means you can only dress 23. He's got 27 here. I mean, why not? If he's ready to go, why not? Why wouldn't you want him as an option? If you blow the doors off of Panama and you've got three guys up front who only started one game and are super fresh, roll them back out against the Ticos. Fine. But
yeah, let's say you get 2 points from your first two games.
Oh, my God. If he gets 2 points from the first two games, then they should fire Greg Berhalter before the Costa Rica match. They should. Absolutely.
Good luck getting him on your radio show.
Jamaica, there's no reason you can't beat Jamaica in Austin. Zero reason. There's no excuse for that.
Agreed.
Okay.
And that's definitely one of the games on the calendar you've circled as a must win.
You may be able to make some argument about Costa Rica in the United States. Tough. They beat us in Red Bull Arena back in 2017. There's no excuse for not beating Jamaica. None. I don't care who they've got, who they've added, and they've got, you know, they've got talent, but they can beat you they kill you on the counter. I don't care. Beat Jamaica. There's no excuse for that. Okay.
And I'd be surprised. Maybe I think perhaps that Jamaica game, I think Brooks doesn't play that game. And here's why.
Oh yeah. No, I want Richards and Robinson on the field for that game.
And why? Cause there's a reason why I want it. Why do you?
Because athleticism is going to be a factor in that game.
Yeah, Jamaica's going to want to play on the counter, and they've got some real speed up front. So I don't think you play John Brooks in that game. Also, because that's a game where you're going to be on the front foot, too. So maybe you do go to a three-man back on that, and you push the fullbacks forward. So you can't play, and I doubt you play Anthony Robinson in Panama. So I think you see a 3-5-2 with Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest out wide in those two for that game, and with a Miles Robinson, Mark McKenzie, and Tim Ream.
Possibly.
Backline.
Possibly. I said it last time, and I said it before they even called the team up. I said Tim Ream was guaranteed to start a game in World Cup qualifying, and he did, and it's going to happen again. It's just going to happen again, and we'll see how it goes. All right. I'm going to run now and do Wednesday night things. Perhaps talk to my wife, maybe...
Pickle tickle?
You know, pat my child on the head and say, I love you, son, or whatever we're supposed to
do
as fathers.
Or do you do both?
What'd you say? Which one?
Which one?
Oh, both. I tell both of them I love them. Am I not supposed to do that? Is that...
No, I mean, you said son, not sons. So there's just one in particular that you loved a lot.
Both of them. Yeah, don't tell them that I have a favorite. Don't tell them that there's one that's my favorite. Do you have a favorite? You got two. You got a favorite?
I have, on certain days, yes.
Man, you know what I taught my kid how to do today?
What's
and
that?
You would never
depends
have,
which one.
the older one. You have no reason to do this because you are so bougie and pay for someone to mow your grass. I taught my kid how to mow the grass today.
Oh, no, the wife and I have already decided in the next year we're buying a shed and the oldest is going to start mowing the lawn.
You're doing
it just to... have a shed.
Just to punish him for, or just to give him the job
to
do it?
No, save money.
Oh, I see. Now
that, and also teach him the value
free labor.
Of a hard-earned dollar.
Free labor. Oh, you're going to pay him for this? Not free labor. Paid labor.
Of course. You don't pay your kid for allowances? You don't give him allowances for chores?
It's about time he... Yeah, well, there's a whole thing happening. But yes.
What are you teaching? You got to teach him the value of work.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Need to do that. Yeah.
Well, sorry, again, he's pocketbook lighter.
Figuring out how to mow the lawn. So that's the thing that's happening. All right. Mr. Dubois, thanks for joining
me. Like he's
on a Wednesday.
Trim?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm teaching. Well, not down there. That's up to him. Okay, he's got to figure that out.
I'm trying to get that Manscaped sponsorship.
I can teach you how to shave your face, even though I don't. But the other part is your personal choice, right?
Like, well, there's a lot of money out there in male grooming for podcasts, but ad space. I'm trying to get into that.
I don't know if the late Mr. Dubois, and you know, God rest him, his soul. Mm. I know you don't believe in God, but there you go. Did he talk to you about tending your garden?
Everything I need to know about manscaping, I knew from seeing like a big tuft of hair in the toilet that hadn't been flushed every couple months.
I don't want to know.
And I'd be like, why does my dad have scissors in the bathroom?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Hey.
So I hope you enjoyed this roster breakdown.
Make sure you join us on Patreon and on the Slack via Patreon. Just jump into the community. We've got a new community manager, Jared. Should we like...
Is it official?
It's official. She's announced it on her Twitters. So it is now a thing. Morgan is joining us as our community manager. I knew this was coming. I was told she was considering jumping over to the... Are we the dark side or are we the good guys? Which one are we?
I hope we're the good guys.
Okay. I don't ever know sometimes. I mean, according to parts of the internet, we're the worst people in American soccer. So I just want to make sure.
You read that?
Huh?
You read that?
No, but sometimes mentions trickle in, you know. Like, you can't keep everything out all the time.
I don't see that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's because you don't live on the internet like the insane person over here.
No, I don't seek out the negative like you do.
I don't.
Don't you lie to me, Jason Davis.
No, I don't. I swear. No, I used to. I don't anymore.
I'll say this, though. Your haters actively tag you in hate. Like, I don't have that like you have.
That's what I'm saying. Shout out to Morgan. Welcome to Morgan. We're so excited for her to jump on the team.
Morgan, reduce the haters.
There you go. We're going to be back on Sunday night with a brand new live episode. All your calls on the roster as we get ready for World Cup qualifying back in October. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.